By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 11th Chapter, 20th Verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His feature of eternal time is present in the material world and is neutral towards everyone. No one is His ally and no one is His enemy. Within the jurisdiction of the time element, everyone enjoys or suffers the results of his own karma or fruitive activities. As when the wind blows, small particles of dust fly in the air. So according to one's particular karma, one suffers or enjoys material life. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of all causes, He is not responsible for anyone's material sufferings or enjoyment. There is no such partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord. The less intelligent accuse the Supreme Lord of being partial and claim that this is why one enjoys in the material world and another suffers. But this verse specifically says that there is no such partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord. Living entities, however, are never independent. As soon as they declare the independence of the Supreme Controller, they are immediately put into this material world to try their luck freely, as far as possible. When the material world is created for such misguided living entities, they create their own karma, fruitive activities, and take advantage of the time element, and therefore they create their own fortune or misfortune. Everyone is created, everyone is maintained, and everyone is ultimately killed. As far as these three things are concerned, the Lord is equal to everyone. It is according to one's karma that one suffers and enjoys. The living entity's higher or lower position, his suffering and enjoying, are due to his own karma. The exact word used in this connection is anisaha, which means dependent on their own karma, unquote. The example is given that the government gives everyone the facilities for governmental action and management. But by one's own choice, one creates a situation which obliges him to exist under different types of consciousness. The example given in this verse is that when the wind blows, particles of dust float in the air. Gradually lightning occurs, and then torrents of rain follow, and thus the rainy season creates a situation of varieties in the forest. God is very kind. He gives everyone an equal chance, but by the resultant actions of his own karma, One suffers or enjoys in this material, enjoys this material world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 11th chapter, 20th verse. In the matter of Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, spoken today is the 21st of October 2008, Kristabdo, 522nd year of our beloved Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Radha Ras Bihari ISKCON Mumbai Temple, in the presence of the assembled GVC members for their mid-year meeting, and so many Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, and we're to the east of the salt ocean. Hari Om Tat Sat. So Swayambhuva Manu is advising Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was angry because his brother had been killed by a yaksha. He asked the yaksha to be given, who killed his brother, for due punishment. It didn't happen, and a war broke out between the yakshas planet and the earth planet. Dhruva's planet, or Dhruva Loka, whichever his planet was, I think here at that time. He was here then. He went to Dhruva Loka later. So that war really got out of hand. A lot of innocent people were being killed. So now Swayambhuva Manu is explaining that it's not up for us to be the implementer of everybody's karma. That's Krishna's job. That you don't want to wipe out the entire yaksha race because one guy did something wrong. We see similar, it was very rare that Dhruva Maharaj got carried away, but that's the nature of the material world. It tends to carry us away in different directions. So Manu is coming to make sure he gets stays on the track and doesn't go off. So Swayambhuva Manu is acting as his Shiksha Guru to give him guidance on the path of his Krishna consciousness. So he's explaining how the whole law of karma works, that everybody is given an equal chance in the material world, and according to their karmas they suffer or they enjoy. So like this, the material world is going on. Prabhupada once was riding out to Mayapur what color was that? Burgundy color car. He had three of those. One was in Mayapur, one was in Mumbai, and one was in Vrindavan. I don't see the one in Mumbai. Where is it? Still there? In the basement. What is that? Hidden in the basement. You're keeping Prabhupada's cooker, his so many different paraphernalia, his car shit also. We saw the slideshow yesterday. These are all Prabhupada's paraphernalia. And he was driving and he had a picture of Krishna and Balaram on the windshield. And then he said, Krishna and Balaram. He said that sometimes And then in the material world, the good is fighting against the bad. And sometimes, usually the good wins, and sometimes the bad wins. Maybe in this Kali Yuga you've seen sometimes when it seems that the evil side won. So, with this terrorism and different things going on, so the devotees, they take shelter of Krishna and Balaram. And that's why the devas, because they pray to Vishnu, that generally they're successful. So that's not, it looks like Krishna's partial to his devotees. But Vishnu is actually impartial. He reciprocates, because they're all his parts and parcels. Because the devotees are praying to him, he reciprocates that and he protects them and fulfills their desires to a certain extent. And because the demons don't pray to him, they don't recognize him, so he reciprocates with that and he ignores them. So it looks like the devotees are also on the good side. But actually, we're neither also good or bad, materially. We actually, with Krishna, we want to see everybody Krishna conscious. If everybody is materially happy, that doesn't really fulfill the devotee's purpose. And certainly we don't want people to be unhappy. But what we like them to be is Krishna conscious and have real eternal spiritual happiness. So devotees are working above karma if they are fully engaged in devotional service. Sagunan samachitaitang brahmabhuaya kalpati. For fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, we're above the three modes. The Prabhupada said we should therefore be 100% Krishna conscious. In Montreal he was giving a class and he told the devotees again and again, 100%, 100%, 100% Krishna conscious. In that 1968 when I first reached there in Montreal, then the devotees are feeling a little bit like hopeless. 100%, that's like a... not 99.9, or was it like 100%? So we are feeling like, where's the hope? We're going to always slip up a little bit, you know. Then Prabhupada kind of, I don't know, picked up the mood and he said, well, even 90% and Krishna will take you. So everybody was feeling some relief. 90%, but 90, you know, still that's pretty tough. How many of you got 90% on your final exams in the school, you know? So some devotees apparently were still looking a little bit down, and Prabhupada was getting down from his asana. His asana was built very high, like a Christian pulpit, and had a staircase going down. It was so high, he had to go down maybe about 6-7 steps. So he started turning, going down, as they looked to the steps, looked to the devotees, said, even 80%, Krishna will take you. Hriyo! And Prabhupada was getting down. Maybe the devotees were still thinking, he started calculating 80%, you know. How much chance do I stand now? And Prabhupada got down the steps, he started walking away, and he was dragging his chadar. He looked, he said, even 70% Krishna will take him. Threw his chadar over his shoulder and walked off with his head high. So there's some hope for us. But obviously if you want to get a high percent, you got to shoot for 100. If you shoot for 70, you may only get 50. Someone told me that today was the birthday, the appearance of Radha Kunda. So we should remember Radha Kunda. I don't know if I can remember everything perfectly. We got so many Vrajavasi pandits here that they may help me if I leave something out. But what I remember is that Krishna and Arishtasura were having a huge battle. And they were going back and forth. Krishna was holding his horns, and this way they created a big indentation in the earth. Then finally Krishna defeated Arishtasura and he was liberated. He left his body. And Krishna went back, Radharani and the gopis were watching. She said, "So, how was that?" "No, no, don't come near us. You just did a gohatya, you killed a bull. So now you're contaminated by gohatya. So we don't want to be take any of that karma, don't come with us, down near us." So Krishna was surprised, said, "I'm above karma. Well, I don't know, you just killed a cow, so a bull, so..." Like this, Radharani was juicing up the whole situation. So then Krishna said, "Okay, then I'll take a bath in the holy rivers and purify myself from all the sins." So in that indentation they made, all the holy rivers and kundas and everything were called there, and that became Shyamkund. And then Krishna took his bath, came out, said, "Okay, now I'm purified from all that." And then, but then Radharani said, "No," he said, "come and bathe in my kunda." I said, "No, no, I want to have my own kunda." She wanted to serve Krishna, not that Krishna is serving her. So then she called like millions of gopis to come, and with their bare hands they're pulling out dirt from the land next to the Shyamkund and throwing it outside. And like this, within a short time, so many millions of gopis with their own hands excavated another kunda. Huh? Oh, they broke their bangles, and with the bangles they were scraping the earth. So Krishna was amazed. Radharani has so much potency. She just, you know. Then he said, "Take holy water from my kunda into your kunda." But no, she said, "No, I don't want to do that either. I want to have my own water." So then she said, "I'll send the gopis to the heavenly planets, and they can bring back, millions and billions of gopis can bring back the water from the Manasi Ganga." It's a secret, buddy. But then the holy rivers and the holy kundas, deities, they went and fell at the feet of Radharani and said, "We want to serve you also. We're serving the Lord Krishna, but we want to serve you. Please don't deprive us from this chance to serve you." So then, that was the difference. Now they were asking, not Krishna. So then she looked to Lalita and she said, "It's okay, let them serve you." So then they cut a little, what do you call it, canal between the Shyamkund to the Radhakunda hole. And then the water came from all the holy rivers and went into the Radhakund. And there, then Radharani invited Krishna to come into her kund. So that's what I heard was the appearance of the Radhakund. Oh, at midnight. So you had to stay up tonight to watch for it. They do that in Radhakund. Everybody stays up till midnight. Take a bath. And leave out anything? So, and the Prabhupada, he was upset because some devotees were very lightly taking baths in Radhakunda, like it was, you know, some swimming pool in the west or something, and bathing. And so for some time he actually restricted, because Radhakunda is the most holy of the holy places. And when we bathe there, we had to do that with very much devotion and not frivolously. I was seeing how they go and they do puja, offer different, I don't know, besides different things to the Radhakund, do achaman. We think we take a bath to get clean, but we take an achaman before going into Radhakunda out of so much respect. And then we just do an ablution, take three quick dips and come out, not swim around and play with the turtles or whatever else people were doing before, I don't know. Sandhu Upadesh Amrita says Radhakunda is the most holy place, and to give extreme respect. So many of our Goswamis were there in Radhakunda, taking the mercy. So like this, this is also a very holy day today, the appearance of the Radhakunda. Prabhupada mentions here that they're never independent. As soon as a living entity declares their independence of the Supreme Controller, they are immediately put into this material world. They can hear, they can try their luck freely. Everybody has a level playing board to accrue their karmas. So this is the material world. This is somehow, we wanted to be independent of the Supreme Lord, so we're here. And Krishna consciousness says that's the original sin, that's the original aparad. We reverse that. Now we want to be totally dependent on Krishna. And by depending on Krishna, then he reciprocates with that and he protects us spiritually, so many ways. Prabhupada was giving a lecture and he said once that if we dedicate ourselves to serving Krishna, then we do our duty serving Krishna in devotional service. So then he reciprocates and he does his duty to protect us. Daivyesha gunamaya mama maya duratta, very difficult, extremely difficult to get over this material world, but very easy. If we surrender to Krishna, then he crosses us over this ocean of birth and death. Here we are in Mumbai. We saw a presentation yesterday. Our Prabhupada said this was his favorite city in India. Remember, he told us that my Guru Maharaj ordered me to preach in the West. So I went to the West, I was preaching, but when we come back and see that in India people are imitating the West, how can we stand by and watch India go to hell? We're preaching all over the world the greatness of Indian culture, Indian philosophy. But the people come to India and see everybody mimicking the Westerners. They see the people totally materialistic. Then, what would they think of all our preaching? So he wanted a statement of making this center here in Mumbai, as I understand it, was this, I don't know if it still is, but this was, probably still is, the most westernized, apart from being the most in the West, but it's the most westernized of the Indian cities. And if we can keep the people Krishna conscious here, divert them from totally westernizing and keeping their culture alive here, then that will save the whole India. Of course, now Bombay has a lot of competition all over, from Delhi and Hyderabad, Bangalore, Chennai, all the big cities. In Bangalore, they also trying to be very westernized as the Silicon Valley of India, and a lot of competition going on. So we have a lot of, that's why we were doing the city preaching also, is to keep our youth, intellectuals, keep them focused on what the benefit of being in India is, what the glory of India is, and what the purpose of life is. Just a few days ago we had, I was fortunate to attend Radhanath Swami Gopinath Mandir's, Radha Gopinath Mandir's Prerana program for the youth. Temple was packed, and the topic for discussion, how to win in the game of life. Something like that, maybe winning in the game, I forget maybe the exact words, but. And the youth, so many new people came. Very exciting to see how many young people, youth, students, young professionals, they were attending and asking questions, and four speakers were there giving their different angles on the game of life, some comparing it with cricket, some comparing it with baseball, different examples. But ultimate issue was, if you wanted to be ahead in the game of life, you needed to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Once, I think it's in Germany, some aspiring to some, maybe it was in Netherlands, in Amsterdam. He said that for 3 years he worked in a casino. He's telling me his life history, and he said, nobody wins in the casino but the casino. He's seen it. It's like, that's why the casino's in the business. They got it all worked out. I mean, someone may sometime win, sometime, but overall, only the casino wins. So, Prabhupada used the kind of that language that everyone can create their own fortune, everyone can try their luck, but it's already programmed that everybody has to get old, diseased, and die, and then be born. So ultimately, time factor wins. No matter how good a player you are, time factor is going to win. So, it's like people think they're gambling, but maybe they'll win in the casino, but really, I read an article once that the casino likes it if they win first time when they go there. Then they get really like enthusiastic, and they bring in their whole home savings and all their money, and they think, I won, I'm going to win again, and they lose it all. So in this material world, if we really want to win, we have to get above this karma. Winning in the game of karma is not something that, I mean, temporarily one may be a little ahead, but then eventually it all catches up to you. But if somebody engages in Krishna service, that's called niskarma. So Lord Chaitanya was advising us, don't do pious activity, don't do sinful activity, don't do pious activity. Do everything in the service of Radha and Govinda. Here, Radha Das Bihari, or Radha Gopinath, or Radha Madan Mahana, whichever deity is here. Paramahara. That's the secret. That's how to really win, because you're not in the gambling. You're getting the full shelter of Krishna. So we should take this advantage of having this mercy that Prabhupada gave us of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada didn't say to renounce the whole world for everybody. He advised we do yukta vairagya. In Kurma Desh, he told the Kurma Bhavana, who wanted to give up everything, he said, don't be a monkey renunciate. You should chant and preach Krishna consciousness to your country people, be a guru. I'll live with you, I'll come back to you by doing this. So if we want to have Lord Chaitanya live with us, who wants us to have Lord Chaitanya living with you? Primo, Govinda! 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 Then you should be executing his order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. At least in your own place. Jari dako tari koho Krishna upadesh amarange guru hai tharo e desh. You don't have to go anywhere, you can just deliver your people. People, how many are Bombay wallahs, Mumbai wallahs here? Okay, so you can deliver Mumbai or Maharashtra. Yesterday, last night we saw the Vitala drama by our Bhaktivedanta mission school, and how, what was the sinner's name? Pundalik. How Pundalik purified by a little association of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. And he was a real sense enjoyer sinner, but he got blessings of the holy rivers. And therefore he changed, and then he wanted to serve Krishna and serve his parents. So somehow Vitala came to see him. But he didn't know that Krishna had come himself, so he just threw a brick to him and said, stand on it. Wait, I'm busy caring for my parents. Then he went and looked and saw it was actually Krishna there. And Krishna blessed him. So Krishna that way came to Pandharpur in his form as Vitala, standing on a brick. When the brick collapses, the whole universe is going to be finished. But the scientists better protect that brick. Keep away the Mahapralaya. So Lord Chaitanya came there, initiated Tukaram, devotee of Vitala. We heard some example of Vitala Kirtan Harinam. So there's Lord Chaitanya's mercy is already over Maharashtra. Vitala's mercy is here. We just have to somehow, many people have forgotten, and they need to engage in this kirtan so that their lives will be a success. What I wanted to just point out was, in like 1 minute left, that because that sinner got a little associated with Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, he changed. So it says that here in this Damodara month, that even if one is a sinner, even if they don't have any good qualities, no mantra, no japa, no sadhana, nothing, but somehow if they offer a lamp to the Vishnu deities in this month, they can get purified. So this is a good month if you don't have any, your husband's a little bit weak or something, or wife is not into it, somehow trick her to come here or him to come here and offer a lamb to Vishnu. You may see a sudden change, like in that Vitoba. No, what's the sinner? Pundali. So there's so many blessings by offering the lamps and by doing the Dhammadhara. Of course, the regular devotees, they're doing all the 12 months, all the temple worship, so they get all the blessings. But what about the other people that don't come? Give them the blessing to offer a lamp. Even there should be some lamp facility all day long. The people who come during the day, they can offer a lamp. Once Prabhupada, when he was sick here, he was up, suddenly he came down. I heard this in Giriraj Maharaj, and he had darshan deities, he sat on his asana. The word came out in the ashram that Prabhupada is here, Prabhupada! Because he was just staying in his room that time due to illness. And everybody came and the whole temple filled up. And then Prabhupada said, I'm blessing you to be strong in your Krishna consciousness and to preach. So this is what our prayer should be, that to be strong in our Krishna consciousness and to preach Krishna consciousness for the deliverance of our city, our state, our country, and the whole world, the whole universe. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. It's supposed to end at 8:45. No time. You got time to help? Okay, go. Akalabhya, Prabhu. Give my Nrsingha oil, those who want, they can come up and get from him. Just